The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, thank God. Those NBA conference finals are over and done with. Game 7 finished up last night. It wasn't a horribly bad game, but it also wasn't that great of a game. The conference finals overall were just so boring as shit. But hey, now we know who's going to the NBA finals. But before we get to that, I did just drop a new lyric video yesterday called Stream of Consciousness. It's me and my label mate, Lex. You could find that on our Black Man Records YouTube channel, or you could also find it on katietrop.net. Check it out if you want to. So let's go ahead and get into the NBA Finals. Like I said, no need to really discuss the weekend's games in the Eastern Conference Finals, just because they were very uneventful, in my opinion. But here we are. Hopefully the NBA Finals will offer us up much better games than we did in the conference finals. So our NBA finals matchup is going to be the Golden State Warriors versus the Boston Celtics. Personally, I cannot ever root for the Boston Celtics. I am a Lakers fan, so it's against Laker law to ever root for the Boston Celtics. You can never, ever, ever fucking root for the Boston Celtics if you're a Lakers fan. You can respect the Boston Celtics. I respect their history, and I also respect their current team. Also respect Jason Tatum. I think he's a fantastic player. He's also at the beginning of his career, he actually did train with Kobe Bryant. So he's a huge fan of Kobe Bryant, and Kobe was basically his mentor to begin his NBA career. So I've got massive respect for them as an organization, as a team, yada, yada, yada. But there ain't no fucking way in hell you're going to see my ass rooting for the Boston Celtics to win another NBA championship. I'm not much of a Golden State Warriors fan either, but, you know, I'm rooting for them a million times over the freaking Celtics. So, but let's break it down and just talk about the overall matchup. It begins on Thursday. Currently, Golden State is favored to win this series. But I will say, Boston actually owns Golden State since 2014. They're 9-7 in all their matchups since 2014. So Boston does play Golden State well. They're probably the only team that has played them this well since their dynasty run here. But I feel like I've said it basically since the playoffs have begun, that I think the Golden State Warriors are just playing great basketball right now. And they've been getting healthy at the right time. They have all their guys back, and they have the championship pedigree. And, you know, Steph Curry, he's unstoppable at this point in time. Klay Thompson has found his groove. And Draymond Green's back to being Draymond Green. And the Celtics, spectacular team. They play great defensively, but they're also great on the offensive game as well. And you know, Jason Tatum, he's had a spectacular season. Jaylen Brown's also had a great season. So that duo right there has played great. But one thing that has held back the Celtics, and I actually was kind of surprised that the Miami Heat were able to even take them to a game 7 in the conference finals, just because the Heat, if you can lock them down defensively, which the Celtics did, they're very ineffective because they don't really play well defensively. And so the Celtics were taken to the mat actually in their last two series, and their injuries have been piling up as well. Whereas the Golden State Warriors, I just said, they're getting healthy, and they're playing their championship basketball right now. And they know how to get this done. They've got the championship mindset. So I think definitely Golden State's health is going to play a factor. I think their experience is going to play a factor. And I just overall think the Golden State Warriors are the better team. While I think Boston is the better defensive team, I just think Golden State, they like having this chip on their shoulder. I think they have a lot to prove. Because they can't just get here. They have to win. I mean, they're a team. They're a team who's been to the finals the most since 2014. So they've dominated, but they got to win as well. So I just think they're the better team. And while I think Boston's a great team, they've had a great season. I just think the Golden State Warriors overall are the better team. They're healthier. Their experience is going to get it. And you could just see they are playing championship level basketball. So I actually have the Golden State Warriors winning the NBA Finals in six games. And I did forget to mention that Jason Tatum in the Eastern Conference Finals, he won the inaugural Eastern Conference Finals MVP, which is also known as the Larry Bird Award. Jason Tatum ended up winning that. So congratulations to him on that, having a great, exceptional playoffs. I expect him to continue that on into the NBA Finals, but, you know, Golden State's just playing great basketball. There really isn't a weakness with the Warriors. I mean, they've absolutely dominated their playoff run so far, whereas Boston, like I said, has been taken to the mat. And it's not like they haven't played good teams, but hey, Golden State's played good teams, and they've absolutely dominated every good team along the way. So I'm going with Golden State in this matchup, but I definitely expect Boston to definitely give them a run for their money, and it's not going to be easy for the Warriors. And I also, my prediction for the NBA Finals MVP, I think, is going to be Steph Curry. That's basically the one and only thing that's missing from his career resume. So I think it's only fitting that not only he gets another championship, but he could get a Finals MVP along the way. So that's how I think the NBA Finals is going to play out. It begins on Thursday night, so we'll see where we're at on Friday. And since I actually am a huge Steph Curry fan, I've been rooting for him since he played at Davidson. I've really enjoyed his career. I've really enjoyed the way he's changed today's game. And so with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and do a top five list today. Top five greatest Steph Curry moments, beginning with number five on January 3rd, 2021 versus the Portland Trail Blazers. He had a 62-point game, which is the most points he's ever scored in any game of his career. He went 18 for 31, which is a 58.1% shooting percentage. He went 8 for 16 with three-pointers and 18 for 19 at the free throw line. Then at number four on my top five greatest Steph Curry moments, November 12th, 2021. Versus the Chicago Bulls. This is when he actually passed Ray Allen to become the NBA all-time three-point leader. At this current point in time, Steph Curry has 3,117 career three-pointers. He's obviously, I mean, Steph Curry probably has at least another 5 to 8 years in him, maybe even longer, who knows. Depending upon injuries, of course, but he's going to blow NBA all-time three-point lead out of the water. So it's going to be interesting to see how long he's able to maintain the lead. But I mean, that's what Steph Curry's done his entire career. Since the day he hit the NBA, dude has been dropping threes like there's no tomorrow. And so it's only fitting that this dude is the all-time leader, and he passed Ray Allen just last year. All right, number three on my top five greatest Steph Curry moments. Well, this is number three, and Steph Curry's known for dropping threes. So this is actually three separate moments, but they all are basically the same exact thing, and that is Steph Curry, three times in his career, has passed the single-season three-point mark, and he's been the leader, and he's done it three times in his career. Beginning with 2012-2013 season was the first time he ever did it. And he dropped 270 threes that season. And he became the first ever player to ever drop 250 three-pointers and have 500 assists in one season. So That's where it started. Then in the 2014-2015 season, he broke that record with 286 three-pointers. And then in the 2015-2016 season, which actually ended up being an MVP season for him, actually a very prolific season for the Warriors overall. That was the year they broke the regular season wins mark, only to go on and lose the NBA Finals. So while they had a fantastic 2015-2016 season, it did not end the way anybody wanted it to. But in 2015-2016, he ended up smashing the single season three-point record in one season by dropping 402 three-pointers. So that's the current record. We'll see if he's able to beat it again, or we'll see if anybody in the near future is ever able to beat that. But he's been the single season three-point leader three times, breaking one record three times. And I mean, 402, that's nuts. Like, really, when I wrote that down, I was like, well, he goes from 270 to 286 to 402. What the fuck? Yeah. All right. So number two on my top five greatest Steph Curry moments. They actually are two moments. Number one being when he won his first MVP in the 2014-2015 season. That also ended up being the first year that the Golden State Warriors would win their an NBA Finals. And so, yeah, that it was just a breakout. It was basically Steph Curry's breakout season. You know, the Warriors, when they first drafted Steph Curry, obviously were a bad team because I believe he was like the 10th, the 9th. He was definitely one of the top picks in the first round. And so when you're that high, picking that high, obviously you're not a good team. And so it took him a minute to, you know, build up the team. They had to draft Klay Thompson as well and Draymond Green. And then they eventually would get Steve Kerr as the coach. And this is the team that they built. And then obviously over time they got Andre Iguodala as well, another huge role player in this dynasty, and then of course they had the Kevin Durant years as well, but this 2014-2015 season was by far like the breakout season where we knew, like, because you're looking at Steph Curry and you're like, is he just gonna be this 3-point guy? Is he just gonna fall off after a couple of seasons, or is he gonna be the next great player in the league? It turns out he is the next great player in the league, and this season was definitely the breakout year when he won MVP, and then they would ultimately go on to win the NBA Finals. Then he also won the MVP in the 2015-2016 season, the year he broke the 3-point record. Was the 3-point leader with 402 three-pointers, and like I said, they would go on. That was the season they had the most wins, but they would go on to lose the NBA Finals. But this MVP in the 2015-2016 season was the first time a player was a unanimous vote by everybody who voted for the MVP. So that's what type of a season Steph Curry had in 2015-2016. All right, and then number one on my top five greatest Steph Curry moments, they got to be the championships. 2014-2015 season, Golden State Warriors beat the Cleveland Cavaliers in six games. Then in the 2016-2017 season, they beat the Cleveland Cavaliers again in five games. And also in that 2016-2017 run, in the playoffs, they would actually start the playoffs 12-0, and they would go on to win the first two games of the NBA Finals. So they basically started the playoffs 14-0, and then only lost one game that entire playoff run. So that was very dominating by the Golden State Warriors. And then finally, their last championship in 2017-2018 against the Cleveland Cavaliers when they swept them. So they're finally facing, they did face the Raptors. That was actually the last finals that the Golden State Warriors appeared in when they lost to the Raptors. So they've only beat the Cavaliers. They lost to the Cavaliers in the 2015-2016 season. And then they lost to the Raptors a couple years ago, in the 2019 season. We'll see what they're able to do against the Boston Celtics. They haven't really played a team like the Boston Celtics in the NBA Finals. So we'll see if Steph Curry is able to add a fourth championship to his already stellar NBA career. And the last bit of NBA news, the Lakers actually hired a new coach. They hired Darvin Ham. He has been an assistant coach with the Milwaukee Bucks ever since Mike Budenholzer took over as coach. He actually was also an assistant with Budenholzer when he was in Atlanta. And then he was also an assistant coach with the Lakers back in like the 2013-ish, even before that era. So I don't really have many major thoughts on it. I'm happy that we have a coach. I was actually honestly leaning towards Doc Rivers, of course, but you don't know how that was going to turn out. You don't even know if he's going to be leaving the 76ers at all. But what I do like about this pick is that there's a lot of unknown, meaning he may be awful and he may be good. You just don't know what the hell's going to happen with this guy. But this is his first NBA coaching gig, so it's going to be very interesting to see how it turns out. Obviously, my problem with the Lakers wasn't actually the coaching staff. It was just their horrible play on the court and how they weren't a cohesive team. And so hopefully they're able to work on that aspect of it. So good luck to you, Darvin Ham. I do wish you the best, of course. But I don't know how it's going to turn out. But we'll see. Lakers have a new coach, Darvin Ham. All right, and then moving on to some college baseball that happened this weekend. Actually, the conference tournaments, they went on this whole week. And actually, my Texas Longhorns, they ended up making it to the Big 12 conference tournament. They absolutely obliterated everybody along the way up until the conference tournament finals, when we had to play the motherfucking Oklahoma Sooners. And I'm thinking, all right, because Oklahoma, they were okay this year. They weren't great, but they weren't terrible. And so I'm thinking, oh, awesome, we should have this easy. Wrong. The Sooners absolutely kicked the shit out of the Longhorns yesterday. It wasn't even a game. Basically, the Sooners jumped out right off the start. Final score ended up being 8-1. And I think it was like 7-1 from like the third inning all the way till the end. So, yeah, the Longhorns just did not play a good game. And it's awful that they ended up losing to the Sooners. I mean, they could have lost to anybody in this motherfucking bracket, but it had to be the goddamn Sooners. So I was pissed off about that, but hey, man, I was pretty excited to see them get that far. But man, to lose to the fucking Sooners, god damn it, that pissed me off. All right, and then the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, they continue. We have one half of the conference finals set. The other, we're still waiting on a Game 7 matchup to be played tonight. So let's go ahead and start off in the Western Conference Finals. The number one seeded Colorado Avalanche versus the number two Edmonton Oilers. You know, the Edmonton Oilers, to me, they're a very good team. I really like Connor McDavid. He's actually had 26 points in the entire Stanley Cup playoffs so far, so he's been having a spectacular run right now. But also, Nathan MacKinnon, the center for the Colorado Avalanche, another fantastic player, he has also had a great playoff run. So both of these guys, they are the two leaders of their teams, and it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. Both teams are very skilled and fast teams. They both can score a lot of points. And in the regular season, the Oilers actually basically, they owned the regular season record with 1-0-2 record against Colorado. So they do play each other well. But, you know, I really have liked what I've seen from the Oilers. They've played some really good teams throughout the playoffs. And they play hard, and Connor McDavid just looks like he is on some, and he is ready to take his team to the NHL Stanley Cup, or to win the Stanley Cup. And the Avalanche, while they've been probably the most dominant team in hockey this season, and they have rolled right on through the playoffs as well. They really didn't have anybody step up to them. But I do actually have the Edmonton Oilers winning in seven games. Really, the reason why is just because, like I said, Connor McDavid, he's playing great right now. And just the Oilers overall as a team, they've been tested. They've passed it each and every test. They've passed each and every test. And they're just playing great hockey right now. So I have the Edmonton Oilers moving on to try and win the NHL Stanley Cup. And then in the East, in the Eastern Conference Finals right now, currently the number 3 seeded Tampa Bay Lightning are waiting to see who they're going to be going up against. Tonight's Game 7 winner is either going to be the New York Rangers or the Carolina Hurricanes. So we'll see what happens there. I picked Carolina to win that series, so I think it's going to end up being them. But the Rangers have been playing. They've took them to Game 7 and played great hockey so far. So we'll see what happens there. And moving on to boxing, there was actually a pretty decent boxing match this weekend. Gervonta Davis versus Rolando Romero. It was actually a pretty close fight overall. Both guys are undefeated. Both guys are good boxers as well. And Gervonta Davis ended up knocking out Rolando Romero in the 6th round. But I will say, man, I didn't watch the entire fight, but I did look at the highlights. From what I saw, Romero was giving Davis a good run for his money. He was basically the one initiating all the hits, the contact. He was running at him where it looked kind of like Davis was running away. But Davis did get a nice, good – he did. They both got good punches in on each other. But I kind of felt like if Romero did not get knocked out, if it went any further, he was probably going to end up getting the win because he was fighting him real well. But hey, he got knocked out, so Gervonta Davis got the win, and it doesn't sound like there's going to be a rematch. Romero does want a rematch, of course. He was actually talking a lot of shit because, like I said, if you look at the highlights, at least it looks like he was the one doing a lot of the attacking. And he did have him in some good spots, but he did get knocked the fuck out. So you might not want to be talking a lot of shit when you get knocked out like that. All right, and now let's move on to baseball. And my top 10 MLB power rankings, beginning with number 1. The LA Dodgers, again, are number 1 on my top 10 MLB power rankings. 33-14 overall on the season. Can't anybody stop this stupid-ass team? They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. They're on a 4-game winning streak. This past week, they extended their winning streak against the Diamondbacks. I believe they've beat the Diamondbacks like 10, 12 times in a row. I don't know. Just the Diamondbacks can't seem to beat the Dodgers. So they lost to them this weekend. And then they played the Washington Nationals earlier in the week as well. And, man, just Mookie Betts, he continues to just knock him out of the park. I believe he's second in home runs in the league right now. And Freddie Freeman, he also is continuing to have a great season. But their starting pitching, man, even though Kershaw is out of it right now, Tyler Anderson, he's stepped in, and he's a no-name, nobody really, and he's been having a phenomenal couple of weeks so far. And then even beyond him, Walker Buehler, he's still having a great season, and overall, the Dodgers still continue to dominate, and I just fucking wish somebody anywhere, any fucking team would just take them the fuck out. But apparently nobody wants to do that, at least up until this point. All right, number 2 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the New York Mets. They are 32-17 overall record, 7-3 in their last 10 games. They're currently on a 3-game winning streak. They just swept the Phillies this weekend. And they also played the San Francisco Giants last week as well. And just overall, they're an all-around great team. They're overcoming all of their injuries that they've suffered so far. Pete Alonso still continues to just hit them out of the park. And it's not even just him. It's just overall, this team is just playing great small ball. They're playing great defense, and their starting pitching is still phenomenal. So I got the Mets at number 2. Then at number 3 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the Houston Astros. Their overall record right now is 30-18. They've won, they're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they played the Seattle Mariners and the Cleveland Guardians, and their starting pitching just continues to dominate. Justin Verlander has had a great season. Urquidy, he had another great outing this week. And then Luis Garcia, he continues to strike everybody out like there's no tomorrow. And, you know, the offense is a new person continues to step up each and every game. So just offensively, the Astros are just playing lights out baseball at this current point in time. Then at number four in my top 10 MLB power rankings, the New York Yankees, 33-15 overall record. They do have the best record in baseball right now. But their last week was very mediocre. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. The Tampa Bay Rays just took care of them this weekend. And the Baltimore Orioles actually played them pretty well earlier in the week. Aaron Judge, he does still lead the league with home runs. He's got 18 home runs. He had yet another great week this week. But then you got to take a look at the starting pitching that continues to dominate. You know, Cole, he's doing his thing. But Jameson Taillon, he's been kind of that dude. You know, they picked him up a couple seasons ago, you know, because he was a very promising pitcher when he was with the Pirates. And then he just kind of fell off, and he really hasn't been able to get it going again. But for some reason, and it might have been injuries, you never know. But this season, he has really stepped up, and he has been very solid. And his last couple of starts, he's been very dominant. And then you also got to look at Luis Severino as well. He's having another great season. If he's not, when he's healthy, that dude's solid. And I know the Yankees have been waiting for him to kind of take over and be the ace, if you will, but the injuries have just killed him over the seasons. But this season, he's been healthy, and he's been great so far. Then at number five on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the Tampa Bay Rays, 28-19 overall in the season, 6-4 in their last 10 games. They're on a two-game winning streak. Like I said, they just they took care of the Yankees this weekend. Then they also played the Florida Marlins earlier in the week. But Shane McClanahan, he's been their dude. And the thing about the Tampa Bay Rays, and this goes back many, many years now, I'd say at least like 10 years now, the Tampa Bay Rays tend to find these gems at pitcher. And they're always these guys, you know, they build them up through the farm system. And then usually their rookie season will be pretty decent, which McClanahan did have a decent rookie season last year. But, man, he has really turned it on this year. And he's amazing with the strikeouts, too. His strikeout percentage is just insane this year. He leads the league. So that guy, he's been their dominating force. But overall, the Tampa Bay Rays are just an all-around good team. They play great defense. They don't have a really solid hitter in the lineup who's just going to absolutely take over like an Aaron Judge or somebody like that. But like overall, they have so many dudes in their lineup who could play small ball, who could steal bases, who could get you base hits when you need them, that the Tampa Bay Rays, they're just a solid overall team. And then at number six on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the San Diego Padres, overall record of 30-17, 7-3 in their last 10 games. They played the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Milwaukee Brewers this week. And they also are an overall good team. They're playing great baseball. I mean, Joe Musgrove having yet another phenomenal season for the Padres. He's got, what, 5 wins this season? So he's just dominating every start. And like I continue to say, Fernando Tatis has not played yet this season. So it's going to be very interesting to see the offense once he gets back into it, because, man, offensively, the Padres have been one of the best teams, especially, you know, they had, I believe, 2 walk-offs this week. One of them was yesterday, but they're just playing some fantastic baseball at this current point in time, and Tatis has not played a game this season. All right, and then at number 7 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the Minnesota Twins, overall record of 29-19, 7-3 in their last 10 games. They played the Kansas City Royals and the Detroit Tigers this week. And Gio Urshela, man, they traded for him in the offseason, and he has really been a huge gem for them offensively and defensively. He has really just come into his own. You know, it looked like he was going to be a very good player with the Yankees, but it's just like they had too many guys at shortstop and third base and second base that they didn't really have much room for Urshela. And so now he's finally able to flourish up in Minnesota. So he's having a great season. And Byron Buxton, he continues to just knock him out the park. He's got 11 home runs currently. And their starting pitching, man, starting pitching is just flat out phenomenal as well. So the Twins are rolling along. Then at number 8 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the Toronto Blue Jays, overall record of 27-20, 7-3 in their last 10 games, and they are currently on a 5-game winning streak, which is the longest winning streak in baseball right now. They actually just swept the Angels this weekend, and they also played the Cardinals earlier in the week. And this week, their standouts were Gurriel Jr. and Tapia. Both of them had like game winning hits, game tying hits, just had phenomenal weeks. But then also George Springer, he continues to have a phenomenal season. And their starting pitching is just lights out. So, look out for the Blue Jays. The AL East, all of the teams pretty much are just playing phenomenal baseball right now. And, with that being said, at number 9 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Boston Red Sox. So that is the fourth team from the AL East in my top 10 this week. And that's because the Boston Red Sox actually are the hottest team in baseball right now. Overall record, they're 23-25. So yes, they are below 500. But that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. They started the season off cold, and now they are hot. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they played the Baltimore Orioles and the Chicago White Sox. And just something that's a crazy stat about them this last month is they have had 5 games won by double digits. And I think one this past, was it yesterday? They scored 12 runs. They've just been hitting home runs galore. They've been leading the league in home runs the last month. May has just been their month, especially because, like I said, they started off the season horrible, but now the Red Sox are on fire, and the AL East, man, 4 good teams right now dominating baseball, and the Red Sox are just, they look like they're starting to turn it on, so they could be a very scary team as the season goes on. And then rounding out my top 10 MLB power rankings are the St. Louis Cardinals, overall record of 26-21, 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they played the Milwaukee Brewers and the Toronto Blue Jays. And right now, man, Paul Goldschmidt, he is having a hell of a season. Right now, he's got a 20-game hitting streak. And, you know, he's playing great baseball, too. He's got game winners. He's been hitting them at the park. He's been playing small ball. Like, he's just been getting the hits that he needs to get. And, you know, Goldschmidt's having a great season. Albert Pujols is having a great season. And just overall, the Cardinals are playing great baseball. And then just a couple more highlights on baseball that would be from my team, the San Francisco Giants, who actually had a very horrible week of baseball. They have not played well these last couple of weeks, as a matter of fact. But this week, this past weekend, they played the Cincinnati Reds, the worst team in baseball. By the way, they almost got swept by the worst team in baseball. They lost 2 of the 3 games this weekend. Something hilarious happened pre-game on Friday, I believe it was. Tommy Pham, he is the outfielder for the Cincinnati Reds. And then Joc Pederson is also an outfielder for the San Francisco Giants. And I guess these two were in a fantasy football league last season. And they don't really know each other that well, I guess, especially after finding out what happened stupidly here in this story. But basically, the two of them were in a fantasy football league together. And last year, Joc Pederson played for the Atlanta Braves. And then... well, actually, he played for the Cubs and the Braves, I believe, because he got traded to the Braves. Regardless, he played for the Braves, and then Tommy Pham, he was playing for the Padres at the time. And basically, before the game on Friday, Tommy Pham walks up to Jock Peterson and smacks him on the head. And they kind of get in this little altercation, and it's not really a big deal. But everybody was like, what the hell was this over? Well, turns out the reason why Tommy Pham just walked up to Jock Peterson and hit him on the head is because Jock Peterson, in a friendly manner, by the way, I guess sent some meme to, because, you know, they had like a group text. Because when you're in fantasy leagues, you do tend to, especially if you know people, you tend to talk a little bit of shit. And usually it's all in fun and games. I've never had any major issues with somebody in a fantasy league, especially with it getting physical. But usually you do have little friendly jabs with each other. And so basically Jock Peterson sent in the group text because at the time there were three total San Diego Padre players in this fantasy football league. And at the time, the San Diego Padres were an absolutely atrocious team. And so Jock Peterson sent this meme. It was a joking meme about how the Padres were just basically playing like shit at that point in time. And I guess that offended Tommy Pham, and he didn't like that. So he decided to confront him about it this weekend. Yeah. Yeah, they got in a fight over a meme in a fantasy football league. Like, how fucking ridiculous is that? But when I heard that story, I was like, that's just so typical crybabies these days who can't take jokes, and then you gotta get all physical over it. Like, go you, Tommy Pham. So he has been suspended for a couple of games now because of that. But yeah, that was a very ridiculous story. And now on to the second ridiculous story with my team, the San Francisco Giants. The manager, Gabe Kapler of the San Francisco Giants, has decided I don't know how long this is going to last, but he's not going to come out for the national anthem every game. And I quote, because until I feel better about the direction of our country. First of all, that's not an actual like explanation as to why you're, quote, protesting something. That's a very cowardly thing, I would say. Also, what I find amusing about this is, first of all, yeah, what direction of our country are you upset about? You didn't say what direction. So what are you protesting? What can happen? What's better? Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. So basically, this guy thinks he's so fucking super important that because he is not going to come out for the national anthem. Oh, by the way, in baseball, no, the national anthem's not like televised or anything. So once again, this doesn't matter. Nobody's going to see it. Only losers who report on it are going to report on it. This isn't a big deal. Nobody cares. P.S. This has already been done, and nothing came about the last time this happened either. And nothing's going to come about from this either. But basically, Gabe Kapler thinks he's so fucking goddamn important to the world that Senate or Congress or whoever the fuck, because since he didn't give us a reason why, other than until I feel better about the direction of our country, that's not an explanation, dude. But until whatever happens, he thinks that Congress or whoever is going to be like, oh my God. Oh my God, guys. Gabe Kapler, the manager of the San Francisco Giants, is not going to come out for the national anthem until he feels better about the direction of our country. Guys, we got to change something because of this super important guy, Gabe Kapler. Like, Jesus fucking Christ. What a fucking moron. And it just, what annoys me about it is I am so goddamn sick and tired of polititards. Now, let me define for you what a polititard is. Because guess what? Let me just tell you all my political affiliations, okay? I personally give zero fucks about politics. As a matter of fact, the last conversation on earth I ever want to have is politics with anybody. I'd rather place a goddamn motherfucking shotgun in my mouth and pull the fucking trigger and blow my goddamn brains out all over a motherfucking wall than discuss politics with any of you fucking insane nut jobs, because that's what you all are. So let's define what a polititard is to Katie Tropp. A polititard is anybody, any age, race, creed, or political affiliation, asshole who can't shut their goddamn motherfucking mouth about politics. Even when you look them in the face and say, I don't care. And they just go, rana, 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 rana. And you look at them and go, I don't care. Rana, 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 rana. My opinion's so goddamn important. Even though you just said you don't care, I gotta keep on talking. And that's what this goddamn world is full of, is all you stupid, idiotic polititards. And I can't stand any of you. And I am so motherfucking sick to death of this shit being put in sports, forced upon all of us who don't give a shit. Let me tell y'all something about sports fans. Apparently y'all aren't getting this, but real sports fans give zero fucks about anything other than the sport we are watching. We do not care who our players are. We don't care if they're good. We don't care if they're bad. We don't give a flying fuck what the hell they do off of the field. We only care what they're doing in their sport. If you are good at your sport, we don't give a goddamn what the hell is going on off the field. And that's the fucking goddamn facts. And there's actually tons of statistics that prove that. As a matter of fact, I've never sat around with any of my sports fan friends, whether it be in person or through text or when we're watching games or hell, even in fantasy sports. None of us have ever said, oh, gee, what about the politics of this? Oh, what about this person who's sitting out the national anthem? Oh, what about Colin Kaepernick? As a matter of fact, none of us fucking ever talked about that shitty loser trash quarterback, Colin Kaepernick, ever. So all you fucking polititards need to suck a fat motherfucking dick and shut the fuck up. So you know what this inspired in me? This inspired more than just this rant that I'm going on. This inspired my artistic side. Because the way I handle this stupid life I have to get through with all you stupid, mentally retarded fucking humans I have to be stuck around 24/7 is I write music. And I get it done through my art. And so I've actually mentioned quite a few times on this podcast my hatred of the national anthem, just because I think it's a shitty, boring, crappy loser song. And so I've decided to write Katie's national anthem, and I'm going to debut it for you guys today. Now, it's not as long as their original national anthem, because that shit is way too motherfucking long. So I might skip around because it's the same cadence as the national anthem. It's just I changed a few of the words to fit how I feel about you stupid polititards. So here's the debut of Katie's national anthem. Yeah, it's a little truncated. Like I said, it's a little bit shorter, but you'll get the point of Katie's national anthem. Oh, say can you see? No one gives a fuck about your protest. You're all a bunch of cunts who are so self-righteous. None of you give a fuck. Only care if your side's won. Please give me a gun so I can fuck your ass right up. Oh, I don't give a shit about your politics. You're all a bunch of dicks. This is the home of the lame. Thank you very much, y'all. Thank you very much. I'm available to perform the Katie's national anthem at this Thursday's opening of the NBA Finals, or really anything you want me to perform that at. I am happy to do that. I will do it with a gun in one hand and an aborted fetus in the other, while wearing my shirt designed by me that says "Please kill yourself" on it, which you can find at katietrop.net. All you political people, all you polititards can suck a motherfucking dick, shut the fuck up, get your goddamn stupid idiotic bullshit out of sports 100%, but here, 100% for sure, do not come talking to me with politics, because I don't give a flying fucking goddamn. Oh, by the way, Colin Kaepernick's still a shitty fucking quarterback, does not deserve to be in the NFL because he's a shitty fucking quarterback. And all you stupid polititards, can fucking suck on a shotgun and pour an aborted fetus all over yourself, because that's the only thing you assholes ever talk about. Abortions, guns, abortions, guns. Shut the fuck up. Nobody fucking cares, you self-righteous assholes. Okay? And on that note, you all enjoy the week of sports, and I will talk to you all on Friday.